Welcome to all those that are with us for the Likutei Moran Shir. We're continuing in the second half of Likutei Moran, Torah Vav, chapter 6, beginning of the chapter. Before we begin, we'd like to dedicate the Shir today to a complete Refuah Shleima for Brocha Bas Rachel, Shlomo Moshe ben Perel Halevi, Svi Aryeh ben Sion ben Shendel, Yus Behendel Bas Gitalea, and Yerachmiel Daniel ben Toiva Basha, and Chaviva Chana Bas Galia, and all the others that need a refuah and a yeshua. This is a short chapter on Likutei Moran. Rabbi Nizal speaks about the topic of sweating, Zeya. Al Yedei Zeya Toiva, through a good sweat. And Rav Nosson Zal adds here, Kigoin Shemazian Ayidei Dovor Shebidusha. For example, where a person sweats in doing a mitzvah, building, putting up a sukkah, running to shul, preparing for Shabbos, Ayidei Zeh Nase Simcha. This generates happiness. Bechinas Vesomachto Bechagecho. Bechinas Simcha Shal Yontif. As the Pasuk says, you'll be happy on your holiday. V'lav davke yontof mamish. And it doesn't have to be an actual holiday. Elo kol yoim shehu bechinas toiv, nikra yoim toiv. But rather, every single day that has good in it is called yoim toiv in a way. Ki has, and now Rabbi Nizal explains. Ki has simcha al yedei hadamim. Because the happiness of a person is affected by the blood. Ki ho'atzvus min ha'tchoil. Because the Tikkuni Zohar tells us about the different parts of the body and the different emotions that come from them. The Gemara also speaks about this. The Gemara says, for example, koved koyes, that anger is associated and attributed to the liver in the body. Kloyos, the kidneys, yoyatzois, play a role in advice. And in also in finalizing the development of the zera, the seed. But the Tikkun Ezra tells us, ki ho'atzvus min atchoil. Depression is associated with the spleen. V'utchoil hi achirus hadamim. And the spleen is associated with spoiled blood, damaged blood. I remember in 10th grade high school in biology, when we studied the human body, I remember them telling us that the spleen is the part of the body where any damaged red corpuscles, red blood cells, go there to be repaired. Rabbi Nizal is using the terminology, utchoil hi achirus hadamim, that the spleen is associated with this damaged blood, spoiled blood. Ukishamizgaber chas v'sholom achirus hadamim shel atchoil, and when there's a lot of that, when there's a large amount of this damaged blood in the spleen, al yidei zeh boim chulshes chas v'shom, the person experiences weakness. Ki kisho achirus hadamim hu b'mido b'tchoil, because when this operation is working properly, when a normal standard amount of red blood cells get damaged in the body and they go to the spleen to be repaired, Azai Agraba, then just the opposite, it's not a negative thing. Hu toiva masha hatchoil mekabil ha'achirus hadamim. It's a benefit to the body that the spleen receives these red blood cells and processes them. Ki nishorin hadamim zakim, because the blood ends up being pure. Just like we know the kidneys have a very important function of cleansing the blood. Aval kishachirus hadamim shalatchoil mezgab b'chas v'shon. But when there's chas v'shon, an overload of this damaged blood in the spleen, nase chulshes chas v'shon. This causes weakness to the person. V'horefua, and the cure for this, hizeya, is a good sweat. Kalidei hazeya, Yoitze ho'eres sheyesh bahadamim ho'achurim. Because when a person sweats, the poisons that are associated with this spoil are released from the body. Shehem hipilu oisoy lemishchav chasashon. And it's these poisons of these damaged red blood cells that put the person off their feet, that put them in bed. V'yazay nisharen hadamim zakim. And when the person sweats, and that those poisons are released from the body, then the blood remains pure. V'azay zoiche l'simcha. And then the person experiences happiness. Ki ikar ho'atzvus alidei hatchoil. Because the Zohar HaKadosh tells us that depression is associated especially with this part of the body, the tchoil. Shehu achirus hadamim kanal, which is associated with damaged blood. V'achshav sheyoytzen achirus hadamim alidei zeyah. And now that the negativity of this damaged blood is being removed from the body in the form of sweat, nase simcha. This gives the person new life. The person becomes happy. Vze oisiois zeyo roshetevois ze hayoim oso Hashem. And Rav Moshe Zal says this is why the Hebrew word zeyo, which means sweat, makes up the first letters of the pasuk. This day Hashem has made. And the pasuk continues, Nogila v'nismecha boy, let us rejoice and be happy in it. Hainu b'china simcha shel yontif. That pasuk is referring to the joy of yontif. That pasuk we say when we say Hallel on a Jewish holiday. Shenase al yedei zeya toiva. And this simcha is generated when a person has a good sweat. We know that usually when a person is sick, chas v'shalom, a person has a high fever or whatever that puts them into bed, when the person sweats it out, they cover themselves up with blankets, they drink hot tea, and they break into a real sweat, usually that's an indication that there's a major change, that the person is definitely getting better. Here Rabbi Nizal gives a slightly different explanation, telling us what's behind it on a ruchni level, the atzvus, that's associated with the spleen, with the tchoil, with the blood, the damaged blood, and the purification of it through this process of sweat. And this is something that Rav Enazal discusses in a number of chapters in Likut Imran, this concept of damim achurim, spoiled blood, damaged blood, when the blood is damaged through mistakes, sins that a person commits, chas v'shalom, that affect the blood. We know the pasuk says ki adam hu anefesh, that the blood is the life of the person. A person loses a certain amount of blood, chas v'shalom, they're dead. V'ze shanu royin shehachole takeif kishemazia nimshachol of simcha. Rav Nosson Zal adds now a closing remark that this is why you'll observe that a person who's sick, as soon as they have a good sweat, they get happy. The mood changes, because Rabbi Nizal explained in this Torah how the Zeyah is associated with the blood that's connected to the toil, which is associated to Atzvos. When it's powerful, when it's too strong there, when the damaged blood is too great, and the toil is working overtime, and there's tremendous congestion over there in a sense, it results in depression. And when a sweat breaks out, which means that the negativity in the blood is being released, this week. This results in simcha. Baruch Hashem, any questions? Okay, now we go into an ocean. This next chapter, Torah Zion and Likut Imran, is one of the longer, larger chapters in Likut Imran that deals with a variety of very important topics. Rabbi Nizal bases this Torah was said on a Shabbos Chanukah, which is the Shabbos of the year that Rabbi Nizal wanted his students to come to him. Usually on Shabbos Chanukah, the Parsha of the week is Miketz. So Rabbeinu begins, Vayhi miketz shnosayim yomim, uparoi choylein, that it was at the end of 2 years, of two additional years that were added to Yosef HaTzadik's prison sentence. If you recall that Potiphar got Yosef HaTzadik put into prison for 10 years, and then because Yosef HaTzadik seemed to put his trust in the Sar HaMashkenim and the Sar HaOifen, Hashem added an additional 2 years to his prison sentence. I remember my Rebbe, Reb Michal Dorfman, Zichron Evracha, who experienced what it is to be in a Soviet prison in the Gulag in Siberia for 6 years and 7 months, when he spoke about this sometimes, and I saw a certain look on his face, 2 years, 2 years, what that means, 2 years in prison, separated from family, separated from civilization, not something small. Rabbeinu Zal begins with a pasuk in Yeshaya, Ki merachamim yenahagim. Hainu mi shehu rachman, hu yochol lihiyos manig. A person who has kindness, that person is qualified to be a leader. V'tzorech leida eich lehisnaig marachmonis. However, a person has to know how to apply that kindness correctly. Ki al rishoim oy al roitzchim v'gazlonim osul rachim. Because a person who's a repeated offender, for example, a Rosha, who's somebody really evil, who needs major rehabilitation, if that person doesn't get that rehabilitation, you let them free, you can be pretty much guaranteed that they're going to repeat their offenses. They're going to keep doing it. So Rabbeinu Zal says, on that type of Rosha, or a killer, or a thief, it's forbidden to have rachmanis, to have pity. You have to make sure to punish that person correctly, to rehabilitate that person correctly, so that they won't do it again, so that they won't be a threat to society. And so too, any person who doesn't know how to use this attribute of kindness properly, then a person could give a child that's 4 days old food that's normally eaten by an adult, a piece of steak or something like that. Veloyla koton kozetz, not usually given to a small child like this. Ki koton kozetz sorech lazunai rak al yidei cholov davka. Because a small baby like that must be fed milk specifically. Al kein, therefore, sorech leida ech lehisnaig marachmonas. It's very important for a person to know how to use, how to apply this rachmonas correctly. A small child like that has to be given milk specifically. And an adult, an older person, food that's appropriate for that person. And so too regarding every person, a real leader has to understand where that person is at and be able to know what's considered rachmanas for that person. Because what to one person is rachmanas, to another person can be telling one person you have to lift 50 pounds, to another person that'll kill them, chas v'shalom, that would destroy them completely. Interesting to note, while we're on the topic of milk, that Rabbeinu Zal mentions milk here specifically, that milk is appropriate for a small baby. Rav Nosson Zal in Likutei Halachos, in Hilchos Basar B'Cholov, where he discusses the whole concept of meat and milk and mix combining them together, Rav Nosson Zal there makes a clear comment that milk is only something that's healthy and beneficial for small children, and then within certain limits. And he makes it clear that for adults, usually milk is not a major health food. And this is obviously contrary to what society thought until the past 20 years or so, when science changed their mind. when we were growing up as kids, milk, 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 calcium, bones, teeth, everything. Milk is one of the most healthiest things in the world. And then they discover that it's not necessarily that case, that many sicknesses and many difficulties in health are associated with milk and dairy products. And here again, the Torah is clear on this. Rav Moshe Zal points it out very clearly over there, that for small children, it's good a little bit. Whereas for adults, that's not the case. It doesn't mean that it's treif or forbidden, but it means to know its place. Now Rabbeinu Zal continues, paragraph Beis. V'rachmon kozer, a person who has this type of rachmonis, meaning the person knows, they understand each and every person who's on a low level, who's advanced, whom to give milk to, whom to give meat to, etc. Hu rak Moshe Rabbeinu, is only someone like Moshe Rabbeinu. Ki hu hayo manig Yisrael, he was the leader of Klal Yisrael. V'hu yihye hamanig losid, and he is going to be the leader in the future. As the Pasuk says in Koheles, ki ma shehoyo hu sheyiye, that which was, is that what's going to be. And it's brought that the first letters of Ma Shehoyo Hu is Moshe. That Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who led Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim to Matan Torah and almost brought us into Eretz Yisrael. And in the final Geula, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be our leader then also. In an early chapter in Likutei Moharan, Rabbeinu Zal brings the Zohar HaKadosh, which tells us that the letter Aleph represents the leadership of Klal Yisrael when the Geula comes. The letter Aleph has a Vav, a diagonal Vav in the middle, and a Yud on top, a Yud on bottom. The Zohar HaKadosh says those two Yuds are the two Mashiachs, Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David, and the Vav in the middle is Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is always called Zeranpin, which is the six spheroids of Chesed through Yisoy. So the Vav represents Moshe Rabbeinu, together with the two Mashiachs, that's going to be the Geula of Klal Yisrael. And there's many reasons why and how, etc. There's a lot on this in the Zohar HaKadosh, in Sifrei Kabbalah, and in all Sifrei Chassidus. This is touched on. But for now, Rabbeinu Zal is focusing on Moshe Rabbeinu. He was the manhig, he will be the manhig. Ki Moshe Rabbeinu hoyaloi rech rachmonis be'emes al Yisrael. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who had the real rachmonis on Klal Yisrael. Umosa nafshoi b'shvil Yisrael. He put his life on the line for Klal Yisrael. V'hishlich nafshoi mineged. He put himself aside completely. V'loyo yechoyshe shal atzmoi klal. He wasn't concerned about himself at all. Ki Hashem yisporach omar loy. Because Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, when the Jews were involved in the Egel Azov, V'es chelo goy godol. Let me destroy them. Let me wipe them out. We'll start over. I'll bring forth a new nation from you, a beautiful, good nation. V'hu lo hishkiach al zeh klal. And Moshe Rabbeinu ignored Hashem's offer completely. Rak Omar, but rather he said, his response to Hashem was, imtisuch atosom, if you're willing to forgive them, good. And if not, v'im ayin mocheni no misifur chashur, if you're going to kill Yidden, I'm first. That was Moshe Rabbeinu's response. Ki hu hoyo rachmon umanig amiti, because he was the real deal. He was the real rachmon and leader of Klal Yisrael. V'hoyo oisek b'yishuvoy shel oylam. And he was involved in making the world civilized, in settling the world. How do we define civilization according to the Torah? Sheyeh ha'olam meyushav mibnei adam. That the world should be settled with human beings, not animals that look like human beings, real human beings. Ki ikar ha'odam hu hadas. Because what defines a human being as a human being is a level of intelligence. Umi she'ein lo das. This is one of Rabbeinu Zal's special statements. A person who doesn't have das is not part of civilization. He's jungle material. He's a chayarah. ואינוי מכונה בשמותם כלל. That person is not called a human being. רק הוא בחינס חיו בדמוסודם. It's an animal, and not, again, there's chaya and behema. Chaya means a non-domesticated animal. It's a chaya in human form. Moshe Rabbeinu hoyo loy rachmonas. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who had real rachmonas. V'hoyo oisek beyishuv ha'olam. He was involved in settling the world, in civilizing the world. Sheyeh ha'olam meyushuv ha'mamula b'nei adam. That the world should be settled and filled with real quality human beings. Hainu b'nei deya, people who have das. And remember, the das we're talking about here is not necessarily physics and chemistry. The das here is the das is Hashem, recognition of Hashem. People who know that they didn't fall from the sky, that there was a creator who created the whole world, and there's a purpose behind all of it. Hainu b'nei deya kanal. Ki hu posach lanu oyer hadas. Moshe Rabbeinu was one who really opened up to the world and to Klal Yisrael the oyer hadas. K'moshe shekosuv, ato horeso ladas ki Hashem hu alekin. Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who showed Klal Yisrael this das, this recognition of Hashem. Ki Moshe posach es hadas vegila lanu ki yesh alekim shalet boretz. He's the one who really opened up the das and revealed to us that Hashem is ruling the world. How did he show this? One of the ways was especially through the miracles that he performed. We know that when things roll along al piteva, then it's possible for people to ignore Hashem or to not realize that there's a Hashem around. But the moment Hashem shuts off the autopilot and Hashem puts hands on and makes a quick turn, suddenly everybody realizes, there is Hashem, there is a creator, and he's alive and well, he's hands-on, he's controlling everything in the world. So when the 10 Makos hit Mitzrayim, and when Moshe Rabbeinu showed he could turn blood, water into blood, and blood into all the Nisim and Eflois, that's what really opened the eyes of Klal Yisrael to realize that Hashem hu Elokim, that there's no Teva, that Elokim is Bigematria HaTeva, the Arizal says. So again, that's a hiddenness of Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu pulled the curtain and the Yidden saw Hashem hu Elokim, that there's no such thing as Hashem and Teva. It's all really Hashem. It's all really Hashem. And now Rabbeinu Zal is going to go into an incredible explanation on this issue of Rachmanis. What's real? People talk about it's such a Rachmanis on this person. He's been out of a job for a few weeks, or it's such Rachmanis on that person, they're sick. What's the most important? What's the biggest Rachmanis? Ki ikar ho Rachmanisu, ki ish kish Yisroel, am kodosh, noiflem chas v'shalom, davoynes Rachmanisun. The biggest Rachmanis on Klal Yisrael is when Yidden fall into committing sins. Kizehu harachmonus hagodol mikol mine rachmonus. That's the biggest pity out of all different types of pity. Why? He's going to explain this. Kikol hayisurim hakoshim shebo'ilam einom nechshovim klal keneged hamasui hakovoid shelavonus hasashon. All the different various suffering in the world doesn't count at all compared to the heavy burden that a Yid is carrying when he commits sins. Because when Jews fall into sins, this is a very heavy burden, whereby a Jew can't carry that burden. It's completely destroys the person. As the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Kemasa Koved Yichbedu Mimeni, that my Aveiros, my sins, were like a heavy burden that overwhelmed me, that destroyed me. Now watch how Rabbeinu Zal explains this. Ki mi sheyodea kedushas Yisrael, me'ayin hem v'kuchim, a person who understands the holiness of the Jewish nation, from where we originate from where we come from, that we are chelek of the kamimah, we are literally a part of Hashem, and our souls are carved out from under the kisei hakavod, V'yodea ruchnius v'dakus shel Yisrael, and he knows the spirituality and the purity, the fineness of a Jewish neshama, hu yodea sheYisrael hem rechokim legamri me'ovayim. He knows, he understands that Jews are the furthest thing in the world from sin. Ve'ein ovoin shayich lohem klal klal loy. And sins have no shayches at all, no association whatsoever with a Jew. Lefi goydel kiddushosam misharosham. Based on how incredibly holy we are from where we come from. The goydel dakusam veruchniusam. And how fine and how spiritual we are. A Jewish neshama is billions of times higher than malachim, higher than angels, above everything. Rabbeinu Zal has a Torah in the Likutei Moran, Torah Chof Dalet, where he begins that there's a light that's above nafshim, ruchim, v'nishmasim, you know, an incredible high-level light. V'al kein, and therefore, kol ha'yisurim sheboilam einam nechshavim lemasui keneged hamasi ha'kovoy ch'lavoy neschas shomach nosan. And therefore, all the suffering in the world, it is suffering. There is suffering. When a person's in pain, when a person has, Rachman al Son, cancer, it's a serious thing. But compared to this, compared to sins, no comparison. Because remember, the physical ailments, the physical problems are within 70 years or 80 years. How much is a person going to live in this world? Whereas a ruchni, a sin, can be billions of years, can be an eternal mark on the person, chas v'shalom. V'afilu kishayesh la'odam yisurim. Now listen to watch what Rabbeinu Zal shows here now. And even when a person has suffering, im ein bohem avoinois, if it's not directly related to sins, einom nechshavim liyisurim klal. It doesn't really count. It's not really considered suffering. V'zeh b'chinas, and this is what the Gemara says in Shabbos, ein yisurin b'loy ovoim. There's no suffering without sin. The Gemara is telling us there are pipshat, the Gemara is saying, that if a person is suffering, they have to examine themselves and see, what am I doing wrong? What do I need to correct? What do I need to improve? But Rabbeinu Zal puts a spin on it. Rabbeinu Zal says, ein yisurin b'loy ovoim, shekishe'ein bohem ovoim, ein yisurin klal. If it doesn't involve sin, it isn't really suffering. It's minor. It's something that'll pass, that kind of thing. Because the real suffering is only when Jews, chas v'shalom, fall away from Hashem, from the Torah, and they get involved in sins. And when we talk about having pity, when we talk about showing kindness, being charitable, being philanthropic, it's a nice thing to donate $1 million, $20 million to a hospital. But you can't compare that in any way to a person who donates $50,000 to a yeshiva, to the proper yeshiva, where they're educating kids in Torah, in recognition of Hashem, where they're repairing souls, if it's being done properly, where they're bringing the people to mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim, to eternal life. V'zehu ikar horachmonas. And therefore, that's the highest level kindness, l'rachim al Yisrael am kodosh, lohitzio me'amase kovet shlavoinos, to have pity on the Jewish nation, and to help get them out of sins. V'alkein, and therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu alav hasholom, b'cholei shenofli Yisrael be'eza ovoin, hoya moiser nafshoy aleihem v'hispalel badon. And therefore, whenever Moshe Rabbeinu saw that the Jews fell into a sin, whether it was the Egel HaZohov, whether it was the Meraglim, he put his life on the line to save them. And he davened for them, v'hispalel badon. Now it's interesting, the wording here, he was moiser nafshoy aleihem v'hispalel badon. I remember hearing from my Rebbe, Reb Michal, Zichrono Livracha, there's a chapter in Likutei Moran, Torah Hey in Likutei Moran, where Rabbeinu Zal begins that Torah by saying that k Hitzorech kol adam loymar ki kol ha'ilam loyliver ele b'shvili. That he quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that every person is supposed to say, the whole world was created for me. And since the whole world was created for me, I'm responsible to look at everything and to be involved in repairing the world, in overseeing everything and seeing what needs to be fixed, what can be improved. And Rabbi Nizal says there, I have to look at lirois ula'ayin b'choleis b'tikun ho'ilam. I have to be involved all the time in repairing the world, ulemalois chisoren ho'ilam, and to fill in anything that's lacking in the world. Let's stop here for a minute. You know anybody alive? You know any 1,000 people alive that can do this? It's difficult enough to try to fill myself, to try to fix my own chisroinus. You're telling me that I'm responsible for the world? I'm responsible to correct all the chisroinus in the world? So the answer is, and then he says, ulehispalel bavuram, and to daven for them. That you can do. That's the Rashi on the words we said before. How does a person zoiche to be ma'ayin and tikkun olam and to repair any chisorin in the world? If you daven for the world. Especially, and again, charity begins at home. It starts with your wife and children and your brothers and sisters and your parents and your friends and all of Klal Yisrael and the whole world. If you're being mispal bavuram, that's how you are involved in tikkun olam. That's how you're involved. And here Rabbi Nizal says a similar thing here. Rabbi Nizal says that Moshe Rabbeinu put his life on the line. What did he do? He jumped off a building? No, he was mispalel bavurim. That's called mesiras nefesh. The answer is 100%. The Zohar HaKadosh says that there's a pasuk, nafshi yotza bedabroi. My soul, when I speak, my soul comes out when I speak. When a person's doing tefillah properly, they're spilling their guts, Hashem. It's not a oral thing. It's a cardiac thing. The heart, he's spilling out his heart. Shifchi kamayim libech noichach pnei Hashem. You're pouring out your heart to Hashem. That's called mesiras nefesh. Nafshi yotza bedabroi. And the Zohar HaKadosh brings another pasuk. The Zohar HaKadosh quotes the pasuk, ki olecho hoiragnu kol hayoin. Hashem, we kill ourselves for you all day. When? The Zohar HaKadosh says, in tefillah. If a person is davening properly, again, davening is not walking into shul and crossing your legs and falling asleep. Davening is kol atzmoisai toimarno Hashem mikomoicha. Davening means my whole self is in the tefillah. My head down to my toes, all the energy from my whole body is coming out in the words that I'm speaking to Hashem. That's called tefillah bekoyach, where a person really puts power into the tefillah. We know a person can punch somebody, and they punch them, and then the other person takes a baseball bat and breaks their head, knocks their head off. And then another person can punch somebody and kill them with one punch. If the punch is concentrated, person makes the right kind of fist and punches in the right place, it's a knockout punch. Lahavdil in tefillah, it's the same thing. There's davening and there's davening. There was a story with one of Rabbi Nizal's Talmidim that Rabbi Nizal was once giving a shiur about tefillah. And this person was sitting there, and the thought crossed his mind, like, we heard enough about this already. Like, he's talking so much about this tefillah, enough. He didn't say it, chas v'shalom. But Rabbi Nizal looked at him, and he saw what he was thinking. And when Rabbi Nizal finished the discussion, he made a comment, nish davenin, in mainen as medaven hyo. A person doesn't pray, and he thinks he's praying, he thinks he's davening. And everybody knew that he was talking to somebody there. They knew that he didn't just make this comment stam. So right after that, they were going to be davening mincha. And Rabbi Nizal positioned himself behind this person. And Rabbi Nizal started walking towards his place. And the guy tried to get out of his way. And he couldn't. Rabbi Nizal positioned himself in such a way that he sort of forced that person to go forward to stand next to Rabbi Nizal during mincha. The person testified after that mincha, I know exactly what he meant. That until I was standing next to him for mincha, I never knew in my wildest dream what tefillah really is. I thought I knew what davening was, but whether it was that he watched or he felt the energy going on, he realized that he had not yet tasted what real davening was. I think I mentioned it recently, that I heard a shiur from my Rebbe, Rav Rosenfeld, Zichrono Livracha. He spoke about how he became a Breslover, what made him a Breslover Chosid. And he said he grew up in a house. His father was a descendant of one of Rabbeinu Zal's closest students, Rav Aaron Zal. And his father would say a little bit of Likud Imran on Shabbos, but his father didn't push Breslov in the house. There's a lot of reasons why. At that time, when they were growing up in New York in the 1940s, 1930s or 40s at that time, Rav Rosenfeld went to yeshiva, he went to Chaim Berlin, Torah Vadas, some of the best yeshivas in America at the time, and he was doing great in Gemara, in Halacha, in all of that. And he said that one day he was at home, and he was about 16 years old, and he was thinking, and he started thinking about life and about Yiddishkeit, and he started thinking that something's missing. I mean, he's enjoying Gemara, he loves Halacha, he loves doing mitzvahs, but there's more to it. And he started thinking, where's he going to search? Where's he going to look? And he said, maybe the first place to look is in Breslov, my father's Breslov. So he took a sefer that they had in the house at the time, Hishtapchus HaNefesh. And he figured he's going to start reading it. And he started reading, and he read quick. He had a very, very good knowledge of Torah. And he said he got up to one of the parts in Hishtapchus HaNefesh, and that changed his life completely. There's a story brought there about Rabbeinu Zal, that he was in the Ukraine, he lived in the Ukraine, and one morning during the summer, when the days are long, the sun comes up, let's say 7 o'clock in the morning, and it doesn't set till 9, 10 o'clock at night, is when you have sunset, Shkia. He davened nates like he usually did, he davened Vesikin, and then he drank something, ate something, and then he told one of his daughters to go bring one of his Talmidim. She brought him, and he told his Talmud, let's go for a walk, let's go out of the city. They walked out of the city, Breslov, it wasn't hard to get out, and they walked till they got to a mountain, and there was a cave in the mountain that Rabbeinu Zal obviously knew about, he had visited it before. And they go inside this cave, they walk inside where they're completely closed off from the outside, and Rabbeinu Zal pulls out a Shaarei Tzion, the Sefer Shaarei Tzion, which is a Sefer of Tefillos that he had in his jacket, and he sits down on the ground, and he starts saying these Tefillos, and he starts crying. And he's crying and crying, and this Talmud is watching this, seeing somebody daven like that, with that kind of Mesiras Nefesh. And he's going on a half hour, an hour and a half, and they didn't have watches with them. And the Talmud was watching this, you know, mesmerized, couldn't move, and no idea how long this is going on. When Rabbeinu Zal finally finished, he told his Talmud, take a look outside to see where the sun is holding. And sure enough, he saw that the sun was setting already, which means that this had been going on for 7, 8 hours or so, that Rabbeinu Zal had been saying these tefillos and pouring tears, rivers of tears. And Rav Rosenfeld, Zichrono Livracha, said that that changed his life. That opened up his mind that there's more to Yiddishkeit than what he's seen so far, and he has to really investigate this union of tefillah, to really start looking into it seriously. And Rabbeinu Zal said, Vani tefillah, that's what I came to the world especially to teach. And from that point on, his life took a major change. So back inside, in terms of that Rabbeinu Zal, I'll use this wording about Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe Rabbeinu was Moiser Nafsham Aleihem, Moshe Rabbeinu put his life on the line for Klal Yisrael. How? He davened for them. Kigoyim b'meraglim, like by the incident of the meraglim, u'kiyotze, and other examples. There's a story here again, just these stories sometimes are very important, that when Rabbeinu Zal got married, he was 13 years old, which was the custom at that time. And his father-in-law didn't know him very well, but he knew that this was a great grandson of the Baal Shem Tov, and he had tremendous respect, and he had heard good things about him. However, Rabbeinu Zal at that stage in his life was not revealing himself at all yet to the public. So he hid his Avodas Hashem, And on the outside, he acted like a kid, like a teenager, and like a lively teenager. There were boys there. The house was near a river. Rabbi Nizal would go out and run in the grass, run near the river, run near the river, and he'd watch. When a boat was coming by, he'd watch. And his father-in-law was looking at this, and he was horrified that he made a terrible, terrible mistake taking this son-in-law for his daughter. He thought he was taking a Talmud Chacham, a Yerei Shamayim, a Tzaddik, and he got the opposite. Sure enough, one day, one of the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov, or the Mizrich Makid, was traveling by, and Rabbi Nizal's father-in-law was a known person, you know, a wealthy person a little bit, so he stopped by there, and the father-in-law was pouring out his heart to this tzaddik about what a terrible mistake he made in taking this person as a son-in-law. The tzaddik heard it, and he was horrified. This is Chil Hashem. This is besmirching the name of the Baal Shem Tov and everything. The next opportunity, he saw Rabbi Nizal. He told him, I want to talk to you. And he started talking to him. And Rabbi Nizal was acting like a teenager. And there was a Mishnayis there on the table, and he wanted to test them. So he opened the Mishnayis, and he said, can you read this Mishnah for me? And it was a Mishnah, I believe, in Baba Basra, where it mentions Hakelev v'hagdi shekoftzu mirosh hagag, that if a dog or a goat jumps off a roof and it lands on dishes and it breaks the dishes, what's the halacha? Is the owner chayev or potter? Different things. So Rabbi Nizal read it, Hakelev v'hagdi shekoftzu marsh. A dog or a goat that are dancing a march. They're dancing together a march. Beautiful dance. This person heard this and he went wild. He can't even read a Mishnah. He forgot his learning completely. And he slapped Rabbi Nizal. He slapped him in the face twice. He couldn't contain himself. Rabbi Nizal didn't, nothing, no response at all. That was the end of the incident. And this tzaddik left. This tzaddik goes off later, riding in the forest with a wagon and horses. And he hears crying. He hears incredible crying, something strange. And he stops the wagon and he starts looking to see where the sound is coming from. And he gets off the wagon and he starts walking and walking and walking. And he sees somebody covered with a talis saying Tehillim, saying Hallelujahs of Tehillim. He never heard anything like this in his life. Screaming to Hashem, crying. There's a puddle of tears in front of him. He sees a puddle of tears in the forest and he's going strong. And he's trying to imagine who could this be. This is a malach, this is Eliyahu Hanavi, it's a malach. He stands there waiting 15 minutes, a half hour, whatever. And then Rabbi Nizal finished, he took off the talis and he sees that this is the one whom he smacked in the face twice before. And he realizes, boy, did I make a mistake. Boy, did he fool me. Boy, did he trick me. And he begged Rabbi Nizal to forgive him. Please be meichel me. Rabbi Nizal said, I'll forgive you on two conditions. Number one, you go back to my father-in-law and you tell him that on the descendants of the Baal Shem Tov, we don't ask questions. You don't have to test him. You don't have to check. They're beseder. They're 100% okay. And number two, you don't tell anybody about this as long as I live. And the only reason we know about this is because he outlived Rabbi Nizal. Rabbi Nizal passed away at 38 years old. This Talmud of the Magid lived longer. And he told over what he saw with his own eyes, you know, a level of mesiras nefesh and tefillah, something that, again, the world doesn't know about. The world doesn't know about the way Rabbi Nizal was mespalel and the way he taught us about tefillah, the way he taught us about hispoidus, speaking to Hashem for an hour a day. You tell this to people, they can't imagine. I can't talk to Hashem for 3 minutes. We're talking about an hour. Are you nuts? You know, Rosh Yeshivas, Tzaddikim can't imagine that this is possible. And we know that there are Bochrim in Breslov that are doing this consistently every single day, not the day, at night, getting up at Chatzos, midnight, doing things that people think was only done 2,000-3,000 years ago. David HaMelech did this. It's been unheard of in the past 2,000-3,000 years. And they don't know that there's a Likutei Moran. And Rabbi Nizal speaks about Mesiras Nefesh. He teaches us what tefillah is really all about. Ki yoda because back inside Kiyota, because Moshe Rabbeinu knew Shelefi Kedushas Yisrael Vidakusam, that based on the holiness of a Jewish neshama and how fine it is, Heim Rechoikim Meyavayim, they're the furthest thing possible from sin. Ve'ef Shelohem Liso Klal Hamasa Kovet Shlom Kanal. And Jews cannot walk around carrying sins. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu turned the world over to get those sins erased. Ube'emes, and now the question is, Ube'emes, Mehechon Bo'en Lavoinus Chasashon. So how is it really possible that a Jew can commit a sin? Hurak al yedei she'en loidas. It's only when the person loses their mind. We say, wow, the guy's crazy, he lost his mind. In order for a Jew to commit a sin, the person has to lose their mind. As the Gemara, it's a Gemara. The Gemara says in the beginning of Sotah, ki ein adam oivar avera, elim kein nichnas bo ruach shtus. A person will not commit a sin unless a spirit of insanity entered the person. Shtus, shoiter. Person became crazy. Zehu horachmonus hagodol min hakoyl, and that's the greatest rachmonus of all. Shetzrichen l'rachim olav, that to, when a person sees a Jew that's committing sins, we have to really feel pity on that person. L'hachnes boidas, and to be able to give them the right das. B'dechinas, as it says in Tehillim, Ashrei maskil eldol. Fortunate is the person who gives seichel to a poor person. You don't give seichel to a poor person, you give a poor person money. The Gemara says in Nedarim, ki ein oni elam en adas, because there's poor and there's poor. A person who's financially poor, that's a little problem. A person who's poor in das, that's a real problem. Utzrichem l'rachem olav, l'hachnes boi das. And we have to have rachmonis on that person to give them das, to give them this das. Any questions?
I believe we learned that. So when you do the sin, it also gets etched in your bones.
Yes.
And then is it self-mishpat, the vidit varm that gets them out?
Yeah. We learned previously in the Likutei Moran that when a person does an avera, the words of that avera become engraved in the person's bones. It's a pasuk, vatihi avoinoisam chakku al atzmoisam. How do you get rid of that? How does that come out? And Rabbi Nizal explains there's vidui dvorim. When a person confesses, when a person says to Hashem, Hashem, I'm sorry, oshamnu, bogatnu, gozalnu, and especially if the person goes into detail regarding the sins that they committed, the words of vidui are those words coming off the bones, leaving the person. Rabbi Nizal speaks about one of the highest levels of vidui is when a person does this in front of a Talmud Chacham. Vidui Ram Lefne, he's confessing to Hashem, but he's saying it in the presence of a Talmud Chacham. And that's one of the outstanding reasons why we come to the kever of a tzaddik, because nowadays, even during Rabbi Nizal's lifetime, there was a very short period of time that he allowed his students to do this, where they would come on Erev Rosh Hashanah and they would speak. They would say a little bit of what they did. There's a whole story that's too long to go into now of exactly how this was done. But at a certain point, after Rabbi Nizal came back from Lemberg, he stopped it. He didn't accept it anymore. But when a person comes to a kever of a tzaddik, there a person can do this. A person, one part of the tefillah of a person is this vidui dvarim, confessing to Hashem in the presence of a tzaddik and asking Hashem to forgive me in the zchus of a tzaddik, just like he forgave Klal Yisrael in the zchus of Moshe Rabbeinu to forgive us. Any questions? Okay, now Rabbi Nizal introduces a new topic. He's going to build a tremendous building here, tremendous picture. Paragraph Dalit. Vafilu kishimagiyaz manoy lehistalek. And even when it comes time for someone to leave the world, even if we're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu, v'haneshama oyle umizdabekes b'mokim sho'ile boylo moysel yoinim, and the soul goes up and it connects to the place where it connects in the heavenly worlds, Ein ze tachlis ushleimus shetia haneshama rak dvuka lamala. That's not mission accomplished. That's not shleimus. That's not perfection for the neshama to be up there and having a great time. Rak ikar hashleimus shel haneshama hi shebe'ez shehi lamala tia lamata gam kein. The real perfection of a soul is that even when it goes up to Gan Eden and to the heavenly worlds, it continues to be operating down here also. Alkein viv, how? How can that be? Alkein sorich sheyashir achrov bracha. This is why a person must leave behind a blessing. The word bracha is bigematria zohar. And it's brought that's one of the interpretations of what it means, a ben zohar, a son who will continue his legacy. Ben oy talmid. This could be in the form of a son or a student. Kedei sheyishoyer daitoy lamato gamkein be'ez shenestalik lamala. So that the person's das remains in this world even after the person themselves left the world. As the Gemara says in Baba Basra, there's a pasuk in Tehillim that says, "Asher ein chalifus lomoi." The person did not provide a replacement for themselves. The Gemara says, "Chad omar ben, v'chad omar talmid." One rabbi says this means a son, to leave behind a son in the world after the person passes away, and the other rabbi says a student. Ki hat talmid mekabel da sorav. Because a student receives the das of the rabbi. Gam haben, bevadai, and so too, if we're talking about children, listen carefully. If we're talking about children, bevadai ein maila kishenishar ben rosha chas v'shon. It certainly isn't a great accomplishment if a person leaves behind a son in the world who's doing averis, who's not religious, not observing mitzvahs. The most important, the main thing is lahashir ben sheyir bechinas talmid gamkein, to leave behind a son who is also a student, which means he learned a lot of Torah from his father, or his father paid tuition for him. His father sent him to yeshiva to learn a lot of Torah. Sheyikabel mimenu dait sichloi v'daitoi, that the son should receive from his father his seichel and his das. And according to the other opinion, die betalmid levad. Even if the person did not have children, rachmona letzlan lo yaleinu, if the person had students alone, they fulfilled that mission. Because since the main reason for having kids is that your das should continue in the world even after you leave the world, Alkein daigam betalmid levad. Therefore, that rabbi holds that a student having a student accomplishes that also. Kizehu ikar hashleimus sheishar daitoy boilam azeh gam be'esa histalkus. This is the real perfection of a neshama, that the neshama sees to it that even when it returns to the heavenly worlds, it left its das, it left its mark in this world, its das in the world. Because a person who knows a little bit about Hashem, who yodea, that person knows, and about recognition of Hashem, that person understands she'ikar hata'anugim v'hashashuim shel Hashem Yisborach hu rak she'anachnu me'olam hazeh ha'shofol negadel v'nekadei shmo Yisborach. The person knows that the main pleasure of Hashem is only when we human beings, when we earthlings in this lowly world, in this lowest of the worlds, are recognizing Hashem and sanctifying the name of Hashem. V'zeh ikar hatanugim v'ashashuim shel Hashem Yisborach. That's the main pleasure of Hashem. This is written in all Sfarim throughout the entire Torah. As it says clearly in Tanakh, the avisa sehilo migushe ofar mikrutze choimer. You, Hashem, desire the praise that comes from earthly people made from dirt and people who come from physical matter. כי השם יזפורך, יש לו ישרופים וחיוס ואיפנם ואילו מסליונים, שאם ראיתם ואיס יזפורך. Because Hashem has all kinds of levels of angels and heavenly worlds that are serving him. V'af al pikein, ikar ha-tainug v'ashashua shaloi, kishe'oile lemala ho'avoida shal oilam ha-shofel azeh. The main pleasure of Hashem is the service that he gets from us, from this lowly, lowly world, this oilam ha-asiyah. V'al kein tzrichin lahashir achrov ben oi talmid, and this is why it's so important that even when a person leaves the world, they should leave behind a son or a student, kedei sheyishor daitoi lamato, so that your das remains in this world. It continues to function in this world. With that das, the son and student is doing mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim and teaching Torah to their children. Sheyoyer bibnei hoilam hazeh hashofel, so that he shines into members of this lowly world. Ki kishenisha daitoi lamato alidei ben oi talmid, nechshav ki'ilu hu bi'atzmoi mamesh nishar bo'ilam. Because when a person succeeds in leaving behind their das in this world, in a son or a student, it's considered as if that person was living in the world. There's a pasuk, I believe Rabbi Nassau is going to bring it, there's a pasuk where Dovra Melech says to Hashem, Ogura ba'oholcha oilamim, Hashem, let me live in your tent in worlds, oilamim, plural. Ogura ba'oholcha oilamim. And the Gemara says that this means that even after I pass away, I should still have zechuyos in this world. I leave behind a factory that's producing, that's generating, my children, my students, that are continuing to perform mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim. I leave behind my das in the world. Again, that's the main thing. Any questions?
I believe we learned the other day that the Rebbe's of Tamidim should have Tamidim. So this is a very concept that the Rebbe's of das keeps getting passed from.
Exactly. We saw in Likutei Halachos a place where Rav Nosson Zal used the wording that a tzaddik generates students and those students generate more students, etc. So that's how that tzaddik continues to be alive in the world. That's what keeps him alive. We just had it in yesterday's Parsha in the Torah, where the Torah says, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ki yodati achrei moisi ki hashcheis tashchison. I know that after I die, you guys are going to make a mess. You're going to destroy everything. So Rashi quotes the Gemara, which says that wasn't true. It's not true. We see in the Navi that throughout the life of Yeshua, the Yidden were great. They were doing great. What did Moshe Rabbeinu? So the Gemara, Rashi points out, the Gemara says, from here we see that as long as a student is alive, who's keeping the das of the Talmud Chacham alive, the Rebbe is living. That's not called Achrei Moisi. He's not dead. He's alive. And we said that this is the bracha in the final parsha in the Torah. Parshas Vezois HaBracha begins with the words Vezois HaBracha Asher Beirach Moshe Ishu Alekim as Bnei Yisrael. This is the bracha that Moshe Rabbeinu, the Heavenly One, blessed Klal Yisrael. And if you look later, there's no bracha. Read the next psukim, there is no bracha there. He tells a story. He says, Hashem mi Sinai bo, v'zorach mi ser loimoy, hoifia mi harporan v'otzim rezko. What was the bracha? So my Rebbe, Reb Michal Zoran Bracha, said that the bracha is lifnei moisai. It says over there, this is the bracha that Moshe Rabbeinu, the Isha Lekim, gave to Bnei Yisrael, lifnei moisai, before he died. That was the bracha. That even after I leave this world, it should be lifnei moisai. It should always be that I never died. It's before, I'm not dead. I'm alive. How am I alive? If you're studying the Torah that I gave you. You're studying the Torah and passing it on to the next generation, passing the torch. That means that he's alive. And again, the Gemara says, tzadikim b'misosam kruyim chayim. A tzadik in death is called, why? Because a tzadik is one who leaves behind his das in the world.
I've heard a Torah from the Chernobyl Rebbe, the Ma'ari Naim, that he says that there's actually a superiority advantage of lording the the safer of a tzaddik as opposed to going to the grave. Of course, it's not as a replacement for it. It's just there is a certain advantage to it that when you're learning the safer of a tzaddik, you're actually, that is the tzaddik's das, the das of the tzaddik that he left in the world, that he left in this world. So that when you're learning that, you're actually connecting to the tzaddik itself. Well, when you're going to the grave of a tzaddik, but that way, when you're going there, wait, what are you doing there? You're not davening to the tzaddik, chas v'shalom. You're davening to Hashem. You're davening in the schus of the tzaddik. That's like the schus of the tzaddik. That's there. But when you're learning the sefer of a tzaddik, you're actually connecting to his neshama. You're actually connecting to the neshama. So it's as if he's speaking the words to. It's as if he's speaking the words to you. So he said, there's actually an advantage of like when you open the sefer of a tzaddik to the first page, and then you say this should be in the refuah shleima. For whatever is the inspiration in the schos of this tzaddik, there's actually an advantage to doing that.
It's definitely very, very big. Rabbi Nachman writes in another place that the ponov, the sichloi, the dat, the face, and the sechel of the tzaddik is in his sefer. It's very, very, very special learning the sefer of a tzaddik, no question about it. Very special. It's a deep connection. And again, when we say his words, it says his lips move in the grave. And that's one of the reasons why when people go to a grave of a tzaddik, one of the important things to do there is to learn his sefer, to learn some of his Torah at his gravesite. That's combining both things. But we certainly wouldn't want to play down the significance of going to the grave of a tzaddik. If you recall in the Torah, When Kolev ben Yefuna, when the Meraglim were on their mission, and 10 of them failed big time, they brought the worst destruction to Klal Yisrael, Tisha B'Av, both Beis Hamikdashes were destroyed because of them, and two of them were successful in the mission. Yehoshua, who was the closest student to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu was able to be mispalel for him. The Torah says, Moshe Rabbeinu prayed to Hashem, Ko Yoshiachom Yatzas Meraglim, and Kolev ben Yefuna did the next best thing. He ran to Chevron. He put his life in danger. Chevron then was a dangerous place, just like it is today. And it says that Kolev risked his life to go to Chevron to be mispalel by the kever of Avram Yitzchok Yaakov and Moshe Mapela to be saved from the Yatzas Meraglim. These two were successful. So definitely learning the Sfarim of the Tzaddik is an incredible privilege. And it's a very deep, important connection to the Tzaddik. Going to the graves of Tzaddikim is also something very special. We should be zeicha to make all the right connections. There's a pasuk we say in Hallel, Zeh Hashar Lashem. This is the gateway to Hashem. What's the gateway to Hashem? Tzaddikim. That's the Shar. Through them, Yavo Yuvoi. Through them, we get close to Hashem. To make all the right connections to all the great tzaddikim. Wishing everybody a wonderful week, and wishing everybody a ksiva achsima toiva. The next time we're going to get together is not next Sunday. Next Sunday is Rosh Hashanah. Hopefully we're going to be hearing the shofar, and then afterwards it's followed by Yom Kippur and Sukkot. And Yitz Hashem will send out information as to when the next Likudei Moran Shir will be. But Ashreinu that was zeicha to start it. We started this incredible Torah. We should be zeicha. This Torah has Likudei Tfilos on it. It has Likudei, a lot of Likudei Halachos on it. Hopefully we're gonna live this, Yitz Hashem. And be zeicha to all the Yeshuas and Refuas that all of us need, Yitz Hashem.
Shkoyach, Rabbi.
All the best.
Shkoyach, Nosson. Have a good day. Thank you. Good week and everything. Shkoyach.
Interesting. Wow. This is about 20%. No, 15% of this total. There's another. Take a look. Just this is introduction. This is the introduction.
Cliffhanger.
He's unbelievable. And there's maybe 100 pages of Likutei Halachos, 100 or more pages of Likutei Halachos on this Torah, because it's huge. Each paragraph has, you know, tons.
He's talking about Hanhaga.
He's talking about
Hanhaga. Right?
Exactly.
So until now, he said that Hanhaga means you can't expect more than what the people who you're leading can handle.
Of course. And if you have to know each one, what level they're on, to give them the right thing for them.
Nandi has to do the opposite as well. If somebody is on a low level and they can really achieve more, to know how to raise them up, right? So
we have in this Torah, he's going to talk about Ayeh and Malor. Ayeh Mekayim Kavod and Malor. You have to know which person, when to give a person Chizuk and when to give a person Soirus. The same message, you give it to one person, you can kill him. You can kill him. You tell a person you're wonderful, you're doing so good and everything, you can manage to kill him with that. Because he's in an aliyah, and the guy's going to say, oh, I'm great, and I'm finished. And chas v'shalom, another person, you tell him you're a nothing, you're a nobody, you kill him. He's the one who should show him that you're so good. Hashem gets such nachas from your kriya shema. You daven shachris in 3 minutes. You put on your tefillin, you say kriya shema. Hashem has incredible nachas from what you're doing. You have to know. Baruch Hashem. To be continued.